Join me for a heartfelt conversation with Lucy Cahora as she shares her experience moving from being a camper at an overnight camp to becoming one of the staff members and then working as a specialist with kids with some extra needs. Don't miss it. Welcome to The Avid Adventurer. I'm your host, Dave Secunda, founder of Avid for Adventure, and I am psyched you're here. Each week, just like today, I'll bring you an interview with a kiddo, young adult, or parent as they share not only the details of their noteworthy outdoor pursuits, but also how they navigate risk, challenge, setbacks, and service in their journey. It'll bring a smile to your face and you'll feel your heart expand as you get to know the inner landscapes of these athletes. After listening, I know you'll feel uplifted and ready for your own next avid adventure. So let's dive in. I am so pleased to be here with you this afternoon, Lucy. This is such a great opportunity because I feel like you're bringing a really unique perspective to the conversation that is unparalleled by anyone else that I've talked to on the podcast, which is this life arc of time with Avid from being a camper to being a staff member, and specifically this summer going to be a support specialist. So kind of working with kids who have some special needs that we're going to address for them at camp. And so I'm really excited to dig in. But let me start with just an invitation for you to introduce yourself. You just share your name, where you're at, your pronouns, and maybe just a little bit of history with Avid, and then we'll dig in from there.
Cool. My name is Lucy Cahora. I am 19 years old. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I go to school in Omaha, but originally I'm from Golden, Colorado, but I'm a student at Creighton right now. And I was a camper from the years 2018 through 2020. And now this is going to be my second summer working for Avid at Camp Windy Peak in Bailey, Colorado.
It's beautiful. Wow. What are you really proud of as far as when you think about the outdoors or excited about in your time that you've spent the outdoors in your life? Could be with Avid mm-hmm. or beyond.
I would say I've grown up in Colorado my whole life, but I'm really the only one out of my family who's kind of explored the outdoors through camping, rock climbing, hiking, biking, the whole deal. The rest of my family they're kind of more homebodies, especially my mom. And so I didn't really grow up doing those things. So when my parents sent me to camp at first, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be the worst thing in the entire world. But it totally changed my outlook on life, changed the things that I like to do and kind of the person that I am now. So I would say that's something I'm really proud of, is that that's something unique about me and my family. My friends, especially here in Omaha, not a lot of people do that. So I'm definitely really proud of that. That's something unique.
Thank you. Just in hearing that, it makes me feel like you're such a fantastic expression of the mission of the company, which is really less about technical skills and more about creating this connection with the outdoors that really lasts mm-hmm. a lifetime, creating a place of solace that you can kind of return to mm-hmm. as well. But give our listeners a little additional insight into who you are by completing the sentence, "If you really knew me, you would know that."
Ooh, if you really knew me, you would know that, especially coming from Colorado. When I went to high school, it was really big Colorado culture to go to all the Red Rocks concerts. I'm a big music person. So I've been to like close to 40 concerts. I say that's a pretty big thing about me.
All right. Favorite concert moment that comes to mind right now?
Oh gosh. That's a good question. You know, I saw Bob Weir at Red Rocks, and I really like his individual work. And I remember going and I was like, I didn't really know what it was going to be like. I was probably a sophomore in high school or something. And all the Deadheads. It was definitely an experience, that's for sure. I was not expecting that. And just seeing people twirling and everything, that was kind of silly.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I have actually a favorite Red Rocks experience now, being a parent, where, you know, for years and years I would live in Colorado and go to Red Rocks concerts, and so many of them are general admission. You got to get there really early and camp out. Mm. And, and then finally my daughter grew to concert going age, where we would get like tickets for my wife and I and her friend. And then she would go first thing in the morning and like camp out and find seats. And we went to an Alt J concert a couple of years ago, and it snowed and rained all day. And she was out there holding these seats. And then we came in just like it was about to start.
Right.
And it all cleared up. And I was like, ah, the benefits of parenting.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
That's
all I did. Was just, I would go so early and just wait and wait and wait until the doors open.
Oh, wow. Well, your outdoor tenacity serves you well, and the concert going as well there. Well, what stands out to you? And I, you know, I'm kind of taking this arc of questions here, because so much of the time we get questions from parents about, like, who are our staff and what are they about? And can I trust them with my kids? And are they good role models? And so, yeah, talk a little bit about that experience of transitioning from going to a camp and being a camper to working there. Like, what, you know, what changed, and you know, kind of illustrate that arc for yourself.
Yeah. Well, when I was a camper, one of the things that I love the most about Avid is that we're really all about, I don't know, kind of letting kids, we really like let them do a lot of things on their own, like kind of problem solve on their own, discover things on their own. And I remember going, and all of the staff, it was like, they didn't feel like necessarily superiors. They just felt like friends more than anything. I felt so supported by them. And that was the thing that really stuck with me the most after my first couple of years, and kind of made me really want to join that community, was because they are all, they're incredibly close, and they're a really silly group of people, and they're weird because they come from all these different places, but they have such amazing insights. And it was really awesome last year, my first year working, because a lot of the people that were staff when I was a camper were still working there. And so getting to be on the other side of it with them was so incredible. I felt like the community was so close. And by the end of it, it felt like we were a family. And not only were we a family, but every time a new session of kids came in, it felt like they were our family too. It just felt like I was seeing friends every day, whether they were my coworkers or the kids. It's so amazing. It's the best thing in the entire world. I don't know how to explain it. It just feels amazing. We have so much love for the people that come to our camps and the people that work at our day camps. And it's just an excitement to be outside and to help other people experience that.
Mm. I can see that just as you talk about it, just the like exuding those feelings of connection and community and love for folks, just in your expression there. What makes that community? What, you know, what is the alchemy that pulls that together and makes such a deep camper community and staff community and those sorts of things?
I honestly think it has a lot to do with being very unplugged and disconnected from the rest of the world. I mean, a lot of the staff that we're working with either aren't on social media or like don't look at their phones at all. And so this last summer, I mean, as a college student, my life is online a lot of the time, but this last summer I got rid of all my social media just because I really wanted it to be like, I need to take a step back. I just really want to like experience this to the fullest. And being there every day and getting to see the same people every day, it was like, I really didn't have a need for it whatsoever. If I wanted to tell somebody something, I could go and tell them.
It is social media. It's the real thing. It's like people interacting like human beings. Yeah.
And I mean, not only did it make all of the staff super close, but I feel like it's majorly beneficial for the kids too, to see us interacting in that way. But it also helps them realize that life is so, so much more than what you're looking at on your phone, which is incredibly artificial. And we tend to base a lot of our emotions and conclusions about the world on what we see online, when in reality, it can be a lot more simple or it can be a lot more complicated than we think. We just have to look up. I feel like that has a very big part of making that community.
Do you have a personal experience of that, of just recalling having social media have a big impact on you as a person or your emotions?
Absolutely. I mean, beforehand, I've never really been a huge fan of social media. And even when I came back after the summer, I like re-downloaded all my apps and everything. And I think I had them for maybe like a month after the last day in August, and then I deleted it again. It just felt so unnatural. It felt like I was staying up late at night looking at my phone. I was always wondering who was going to text me when or who's going to post what and what that has to do with me, when in reality, not only does it really not have anything to do with me, but it's also kind of none of my business. And like to share all of your business online, like, I don't know, why should I be comparing that to my own life when your life is just 100% different? So I think realizing that, and now I'm in this place where it's like a very difficult place, like I said, because I'm in college and like that's what college students do. But every day I'm like, God, I really don't want to look at my phone. I just know that when I pick it up, I'm going to be anxious. So I don't know. There's really just no point.
Thanks for sharing that. When you think back to your time when you were a camper, any peak experiences stand out for you? Any specifics that really percolate up?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I think when my first year, like I said, I really did not know what I was getting myself into. It was during a very big period of change in my life, and I was going into high school. And so I really didn't know what to expect. One of the things that I remember the most distinctly, and this sounds kind of silly, but I grew up my whole life like watching the princess movies and all the stuff on Disney Channel and everything. I kind of had this misconception in my head that, I don't know, I'd never had guy friends before. And I was always like thinking about, I was kind of boy crazy, like who's going to be my boyfriend and who am I going to like and who likes me and everything. So I'd never had guy friends before. And going to camp, not only did I have that, but I just met so many different people. And I think it kind of opened up this new world for me that is like, I don't have to be, you know, segregated to only the people that really identify the same as me. So not like that was the first place that I really had guy friends. And those people that I made friends with became some of my best friends for years and years. And I think one of the greatest moments for me was probably, I mean, the backpacking trips that we take have always been fantastic. And that was my first time ever doing that. And being so far away from the rest of the world, it really, it like felt like a religious experience. I just never seen something like that before.
Is there a particular moment you remember on a backpacking trip where that was kind of awestruck moment?
I remember it was during my second year, so it was 2019, and we were in like, maybe like the Crested Butte area, I feel like, and we were backpacking there. And I mean, that it's known for like the wildflowers and everything there, and it was fantastic, but it was on our last night. And we got to the place that we were backpacking, and right before our counselors at the time, they had us do like a little mini kind of solo trek where we're all staying on the same trail, but we're spaced out like 20 or 30 feet just so that we can have some time to ourselves. Not having music, not having my phone, not having someone to talk to really grounded me. And I think about that a lot, but I really think about when I arrived to the place that we were camping at, and it was this huge valley, with these mountains. And I mean, it was gorgeous. It was so beautiful. And it was like something that I'd seen in a dream. And I just felt like I have pictures of it and I hang my pictures of it. I even have them in my dorm and these are from years ago, but I just remember that and thinking like, this is exactly what I would picture heaven to be like. Like, this is what I hope heaven is like. If I die one day, this is what I hope I come back to. It was so surreal. So I think about that very, very often.
That's beautiful. Wow. Well, then how about as you progressed forward and you became a staff member, any standout moments, you know, similar or different when you started working for Avid that really stay with you?
Oh God. Yeah. Working with the kids. Cause I mean, this last summer I was a counselor. So I was working, I had a group of kids for each session and mostly working with the, middle schoolers. And middle school is a very silly age. I mean, I can remember that you're going through a lot of change in your life, and it, looking back on it, it seems like definitely really weird, like a really weird time to look back on. But I had so many conversations with kids at camp that I could feel like they were really hearing what I was saying, but I just also feel like they had the same effect on me. I remember specifically there was one camper, my first session. And they were so cool. They were so cool. They were like my favorite camper. And there was another camper who identified as non-binary. And I remember that being a little bit of a difficult thing for the rest of the campers to understand. But, I mean, everyone did a pretty good job at it. But then this other camper came to me one day and they said that, you know, they use she, her pronouns at home. And that's what they were identified as at home. But they said that they kind of wanted to experiment with something else. And of course we were like, of course, you know, no problem. If that's what you want to try out while you're here. Yeah, let's do it. And I remember them opening up throughout their 2 weeks in just so many ways. And they were by far my favorite camper that session. I know we're not supposed to have favorites, but they jumped on every opportunity to come and like sit down with me and talk to me about my life and talk to me about their life and their family and their siblings and their hopes. And by the end of it, they just kept saying like, I really don't want to go home. I don't want to leave. I want to stay here. Like, this is so nice. So that definitely, that resonated with me a lot. Just knowing that I could provide a safe space for them. And that was a very common theme throughout all four sessions that summer. So that was really awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I recall, and I think many people do, that time of middle school of just trying all these different things on, and to be able to do that in a forgiving and safe environment is certainly a huge, huge asset.
More to come in just one moment. Stay with us.
Why is Avid for Adventure voted one of Outside Magazine's best places to work year after year? Because when you work here, your office is the outdoors, atop mountains, in rivers, and on trails, alongside colleagues that share your passions. Your to-do list will consist of teaching curious kids how to paddle, climb, hike, bike, and thrive in the outdoors. This isn't your typical day job. It's an adventure you'll never forget. Come check out all the opportunities for this summer at Avid for Adventure at avid4.com and then click on jobs. That's kind of a good transition to talk a little bit about what your role is going to be this summer coming up. Tell us what you're going to be doing and what that'll entail.
I could not be more excited. So last summer, it's got a little bit of a backstory because my entire life, I have always wanted to study psychology, and that's what I'm studying at Creighton. That's been a huge passion of mine. And I've always kind of been very torn. Like, I want to do something that's outside, but I also really want to do something that's in psychology. So I'm trying to find this balance. And last summer when I came to camp, the first person that I was partnered with to lead the first session, her name is Victoria. And she's from Florida.
Co-instructor that you're working with.
Yeah. And for that session, she was working as an instructor, but for the other sessions, she was going to be the support specialist. And I remember her telling me like what her job was going to be. And I was like, you're actually joking, because that's exactly what I want to do. Like, that just sounds amazing. And so I became really close with her over the summer. And during the last session, she's a teacher, so she had to leave a little bit early. And the camp director said that she could like mentor me and then I could take over her position the last week. And that was my favorite week of the entire summer.
So what does it entail? Does that mean?
Mm-hmm. I'm talking to, there are kids that come in, who have specific support plans. Sometimes a lot of it is like, you know, maybe they have a history in mental health where they just need a little extra support. Sometimes it's that they are on the spectrum and they need a little extra support. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really working with just, you know, anybody who needs somebody to be there with them, and take mm-hmm. those steps with them. And I remember last summer, and I'm so excited for this summer. It was so incredible, but there were so many kids, who came to me with similar stories about, you know, coming out to their parents or a history in mental health, or even just like not being able to get along with other kids in their group or being homesick. And talking through those things with them and being very real with them and talking to them like they're an adult, and then seeing them progress and open up throughout the week. Slowly they started to like ask their counselors, hey, do you think I can talk to Lucy about this? Like, do you think she can come support us with this? And so it was like, I would be walking around camp and everybody knew who I was. And I mean, yeah, it just felt a little popular, but mm-hmm. it felt so good knowing that, you know, there were so many people who felt like my presence and like my support was beneficial for them. And I can't wait to see all those kids this summer because I am so excited to see how they've grown. But I also just can't wait to help support kids in that same way. Whatever, you know, special support they may need. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also had a kid who I was, oh my gosh. Yeah. I was so excited about this. And he, when I was an instructor, so he was one of my kids when I was an instructor, and he was on the spectrum. And I remember his parents were so, so nervous about him being away from home for 2 weeks. And he did an awesome job, but there were so many times when I found myself like getting nervous too. Like, we go whitewater rafting and I was really worried about how he was going to take that and how he was going to react to that. But I mean, he surprised me in so many ways. He was always up for everything. And, you know, he also was really good at like putting up boundaries and saying, nope, I don't want to do that. I think I just learned a lot. I learned a lot from those kids, more than I thought I would. Yeah.
Mm. How about the side of interacting with parents? Does that role involve that? And, you know, kind of, we talked about this individual's parents last summer, but how is that for you?
Great. I mean, that was like my favorite part was when the kids get dropped off and meeting all the parents, and then when it's time for them to go home and they're so excited to see their parents, but they also just have so much to tell them. I love seeing their excitement. Mm-hmm. And especially for kids that would get really homesick, that would be my favorite thing to tell them is like, okay, you're feeling this emotion right now, but think about how exciting it's going to be when you get to tell your parents all these stories when they come and pick you up. Mm-hmm. And so having people come pick up their kids, and then their kids always are like, oh, well, do you have to come and meet Lucy? Like, Lucy helped me through so much, and I talked to her about everything. And then I get to like encourage them to talk to their parents about all the amazing like work that they did and how much they grew. I mean, it's so, it feels like a huge accomplishment for everybody. Mm-hmm. Just seeing how, you know, they stepped out of their comfort zone and they just achieved so much over the course of that 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, you know, I loved seeing that. And I felt like when, you know, when kids were dropped off versus when they were picked up and everything, also seeing how excited the parents were. I mean, everybody gets a little bit nervous sending their kid away for 2 weeks, but then seeing the amazing things that came out of that experience for them, it's very rewarding. It is very rewarding knowing that, you know, I'm doing something good.
Yeah, absolutely. What sort of thoughts would you have for parents when they're thinking about some of these difficult conversations that clearly you're having with kids around identity or mental health issues? And trying to kind of assess, potentially welcome those discussions at home, but also look for an environment where they feel fully taken care of, but also sometimes parents don't know that there is a loving soul like yourself on the other side, and mm-hmm. there's nervousness about kind of releasing their kids into an environment of disclosure or exploration where there might not be that support. Yeah. And also as a parent, I think thinking about what your role is as a parent in these life trajectories overall, how would you speak to those sorts of things?
Yeah. What I can say is that when kids come to camp, I know that there were definitely a lot of times when they would express how they were nervous to talk to their parents about some things. Mm-hmm. And what I know is that I'm 19 and I was a kid very not long ago. I am still a kid. I'm not even of drinking age. So sharing what I know to them after going through what they've gone through, growing up and growing into high school or growing out of high school, I'm just sharing the things that I have learned. And sometimes, sometimes I can't speak on some of the things they've talked about, but what I can do is I can offer the most support that I can and let them know that they're in an environment where it's okay to talk about what you need to talk about. It's okay to express yourself how you want to express yourself. All of that is welcome here, and you're not going to be judged. Mm-hmm. That is the biggest reward sending your kid to camp, I think, is giving them the opportunity for 2 weeks starting out to get away from their phone and maybe get away from some of their regular friends or the regular people that they're seeing every day, get away from their regular environment. And it's almost kind of like a little mini retreat for them because they're in a very brand new environment, brand new state, and they just get to start fresh. Like, here's what we're working with right now. How can we be exactly ourselves and make each other feel supported and comfortable and make ourselves feel supported and comfortable for the next 2 weeks? And what can we take away from that and go home with? And that's the biggest lesson that they learn. And I think as parents, I'm not a parent, so what do I know? But I will say that the kids are a lot smarter than you think. And they definitely have a lot more self-actualization. They're very self-aware sometimes. And it can be difficult to express yourself when you feel so different. But how can we celebrate those differences? And how can we, show our kids that, like I said earlier, you don't need to identify with the people that, or you don't need to surround yourself with the people that identify exactly the same as you. I think that would be my piece of advice, is welcoming those conversations as much as you can. And even though they might be difficult, knowing that kids are learning, and sometimes they don't always have the right idea. Sometimes they do have the right idea, and we can learn a lot from them as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Any personal learning experiences that you had that were particularly poignant, either at camp or as a staff member, that just really stick with you still?
There was one camper in the last session when I was working as the support specialist, who he came in and he'd been going to camp for years, but he had a lot of kind of underlying trauma, and I never really got into it with him, but I'd heard from his counselors from years prior that he was working through a lot, and he'd had some difficult experiences in his life that made it hard for him to interact with other people sometimes, hard for him to deal with his emotions. And that was a very big challenge for me, because this kid was smart. I mean, he was 12 or something, but you couldn't be like, you couldn't try and change the subject or try and calm him down or try and get him to do some exercises because he knew exactly what you were doing. And it was frustrating at times because I was like, I don't know how to help you. You're like talking to an adult and you're like angry at me. But by the end of it, you know, after having so many discussions with him and working him through so many emotions, even though I didn't really feel successful, at the end of that session, he came to me and he told me that, like, I really did have an impact on him. And he may not have said it directly, but he mentioned how I was one of the staff members that definitely made it a very memorable experience for him. And I didn't expect that because there were a lot of times where I felt like he was really frustrated with me when I was trying to work with him, but that was super rewarding for me. Was seeing the impact that I had and how, even though it was hard, I was able to create an environment where he felt safe. That was so rewarding.
Thank you for that. Well, what's coming up next for you? Like, when you think about your life ahead, I mean, thankfully you'll be working with us this summer. But what is the longer arc of time hold for you? Or do you know?
You know, I'm thinking about a lot of things right now. I'm super excited because I feel like my time with Avid has opened up so many doors for exploration. And I've learned that I want to see and do so many things in my life, especially outside. I'm actually leaving on Thursday. I'm doing the Camino de Santiago in Spain.
Oh, wow.
So I'm so excited about that. But opportunities like that, like, I would have never done something like that if it weren't for my time with Avid. But long term, I'm studying psych right now. And what I know is that I really want to have to do something that is outside. And I love what I've done as a support specialist. And I'm so excited for the summer. And I definitely want to go into some kind of therapy, but I'm really curious about, like, the recreational therapy side of things and working outside and using that as a tool to help people heal and cope. I'm excited for the future, and I'm excited because I'm following the path that I feel the most love and energy from. And Avid has had a huge, huge part in that. So I'm so grateful.
Well, Lucy, that seems like a beautiful place to bring it to a conclusion. Thank you for sharing your story and your journey of camper to staff member to support specialist and contemplating what comes next with us. I really, really appreciate your time with us.
Yeah, thank you. I love talking about it.
I hope you enjoyed hearing from this avid adventurer as much as I did. Join me every week as we continue to explore the inner landscapes and outer accomplishments of our guests. And if you know someone who you think would make a great interview, please reach out to me at the email in the show notes. I look forward to reconnecting next week.